Chapter 35. The stench of feces and old urine was sharp in the air, a pungent mix that was enough to make Charlie's stomach churn. Fortunately, he hadn't eaten in some time, so there was nothing in his belly should it decide to empty itself. Though disgusted at the thought, he noted his gag reflex calming down as he became accustomed to the stench. It was still awful, but at least his stomach had settled into a low rumble rather than a tumultuous roar. As the stun effects wore off, Charlie found himself gradually able to move his head side to side as his limbs slowly unfroze. This afforded him a proper look at his new confines. They appeared to be almost as bad as they smelled. When he was taken aboard his captor's ship, he was roughly deposited on an uncomfortable bunk in what appeared to be a single-occupant cell. At least he had that to be grateful for. No telling what horrors might befall a man unable to move to defend himself in a place like this. The smell, he learned, was coming from a waste-encrusted toilet of sorts halfway embedded in the bulkhead. It seemed as though the device was originally designed to retract into the wall when not in use, similar to those aboard the Tislaver vessel. But years of wear and abuse had rendered it stuck, unable to properly function. The result was an ever-present whiff of the ship's waste disposal system wafting up from the pipes. There had been no such issue on Captain Tour's ship. Waste, once carried from the cell, was evaporated by some system that had continuously left Charlie wondering how the hell the thing worked. Tuk-Tuk kept saying it was just a waste removal spell, but Charlie knew there had to be a mechanism at play. He just needed to find it, was all. No such questions sprang forth in his new confines. The problem with the broken toilet was pretty obvious. Lighting in the cell was dim, and the walls were covered in a uniform layer of grime deposited over years of rotating occupants. The only clean things at all were the window and the doorway. But as Charlie had learned on the Tislaver ship, those were force fields, and nothing clung to them, leaving them perfectly clear. When sensation had finally returned to his body enough to sit up without risking falling face first onto the filthy floor, he propped himself up as best he could to better assess his situation. The impromptu escape had taken a terrible turn, that much was obvious. He recalled the man carrying his pack, joining the others in the dark alleyway. "Stupid Charlie," he chided himself. "Stupid, stupid, stupid. Making yourself a target like that? Should have hidden the damn thing and not just dropped it and run." He let out a low sigh. Well, too late to change it now. So let's see. What do we know about this new mess I'm in? He thought back to the sounds that had rushed past his ears after he had been stunned as the men carried his inert body, bundled up in a filthy tarp of some sort. The marketplace near the spaceport, he was sure of it. The same din of voices was unmistakable, though they were now speaking gibberish rather than English. His translator had been disabled when he was captured, and they wrapped that filthy rag around his collar, he recalled. Must be some sort of Faraday material blocking the signal from Captain Tour's remote device, he posited. Charlie tugged at the simple knot holding the material in place, but it wouldn't budge in the slightest. It didn't seem like a terribly tight knot, but he figured he was still weak from the stun blast that had taken him down. Neat trick, that, he noted appreciatively. Dispotus, I think it was. Going to have to add that to my list. A few times humming the little mnemonic tune that helped him remember the remote control words, and the new one was firmly fixed in his mental catalog. Now, if only he one day had the opportunity to use it. Charlie looked out the window and saw nothing but the distant stars. That meant they were definitely on a ship, not in some terrestrial hovel. A ship taking him farther and farther from Captain Tour and his slave drivers. Voices filled the air, growing closer by the second. An angry man, and what sounded like pleading, though he couldn't make out the words. Another gray man, wearing a weapons harness full of all sorts of deadly-looking implements, passed his cell, dragging a bloody druk by a chain affixed around his neck. Unlike Charlie, the man did not seem to be wearing a control band of any sort. The captor yanked the sobbing man roughly, making him trip over his own feet. The druk fell to the deck, receiving a swift kick for his trouble. The words the angry gray man uttered were unintelligible, but the tone was not. "Get up or else," sounded about right to Charlie. Judging by the hurried manner the fallen man scrambled back to his feet, he surmised he was correct in that assessment. The two men passed from his field of view, but a moment later Charlie heard the unmistakable sound of a body thrown onto a bunk, followed by quiet sobs as the man's tormentor stalked back down the corridor the way he came. "Ah, so that must be my new neighbor," he realized as he settled back on his bunk and closed his eyes. His body was still wobbly from whatever they had done to him, and a catnap would be restorative. The whimpers floating to his cell faded as he drifted off into a much-needed slumber.
"Get up when Captain Saruman is present." Charlie lurched awake, heart racing from the unexpected yelling in his cell. "I said on your feet, scum," the burly man standing in the doorway said. Charlie recognized him by the scar running down his face. Marbon, he thought to himself. Another stood just outside the door. The captain. Wait a minute. How am I understanding him? He wondered, fingers going instinctively to the band around his neck. Captain Tour's band was still there, wrapped tightly in the signal-blocking material, but his fingers brushed against another band, thinner but familiar in its feel. They had put a new collar on him while he slept. The captain watched the gears turning in his mind and smiled.
"You've figured it out, haven't you?" he asked.
"Figured what?"
"Why, you can understand us now."
"You activated a new collar."
"That's just a restraint. But yes, I have wasted some precious power granting you a translation spell for the moment. All new crew need to know what is expected of them. First things first, step outside." Charlie did as he was told, stepping into the corridor where an older man with thinning hair and a milky eye stood waiting. "Now stand still while Terrans measures your potential."
"My what?" "Shut up, scum. Captain said to stand still, so you do just that," Marbon growled.
Charlie wisely kept quiet while the odd man waved his hands over him while chanting a series of quiet words. "Almost none," he finally said. "There's a trace of something, but even that is not worth note." The captain sighed.
"Well, I'd hoped for another magic user, but I guess another unpowered bit of fodder will still come in handy."
He pulled a signet ring from one of the pouches strapped across his chest.
"Come closer."
Charlie did, and Captain Saruman muttered a few words, then pressed the ring to the skin just in front of his left ear. Charlie felt a jolt of pain and pulled back, earning him a slap from Marbon.
"Hold still."
The captain grabbed him roughly by the chin and turned his head to better examine the new mark embedded in Charlie's skin.
"Looks good," he commented, then turned and walked away without giving the human another thought.
"Wait, what does all this mean?" Charlie asked.
"It means you're part of the crew now," Marbon said, "and you will be expected to pull your own weight when the time comes. Pay attention. Learn. Be useful. If you can do those things, you will prove your worth and eventually move up in the ranks. If not, your time here may well be limited."
"You'll let me go?" At that, Marbon showed a rare flash of mirth as he laughed heartily.
"Oh, my dear fool, that's priceless. Let you go. Oh, thank you. I needed a good laugh."
He wiped the tears of amusement from his eyes and shoved Charlie back into his cell.
"Now, rest up. You'll be fed with the others in a little while. And remember what I said. Pay attention. You seem like you have a bit more brain in that head than most we pick up. I suggest you put it to good use. You'll live longer that way. Or not. The choice is yours."
Marbon held up his slop.
"Yakon," he said, sealing
Charlie in once more. He then followed with another.
"Sanovusk."
"I know that one," Charlie realized. "He turned off my translation unit.
Bastard."
"Hey, what am I supposed to be doing on the ship? You said I'm crew, but what's my job?" Marbon smiled with amusement, then uttered a lengthy stream of gibberish, likely explaining the details of the work he was expected to do, fully aware the newcomer had no idea what he was saying. He laughed, amused with himself,
then walked off, leaving Charlie alone to ponder the new developments in his already tenuous situation.